is a text amendment to the Winnipeg zoning bylaw number 200 of 2006 under file DAZ 201 of 2013.
All right. The applicant is Barry Thurgemson. I know that guy. And you have a number of members with the public service with you this morning?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are they separately registered or just... You know,
I don't believe they need to be.
Okay, sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn this over to our chief planner, Mr. Braden Smith.
Good morning, Braden.
Hello, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'd like to introduce planners Michael Robinson and Andrew Ross. They have a small PowerPoint presentation for the committee to consider, and they've done quite a significant amount of work to implement the recommendations of EPC from December 2012 into a bylaw format. And so if it's okay with you, I'd like to pass the time to them.
Sounds good. Good morning, guys.
Morning. We'd like to thank you for having us here to present the proposed bylaw amendments pertaining to digital signs and billboards. These amendments are in accordance with the council-approved regulations from the December 12th meeting. Sorry about that. And this, speaking of the December 12th report, these amendments deal with categories 1 through 13 of that report. Doesn't deal with category 14. Category 14 dealt with the permit and conditional use fees, and those have already been implemented. So these are text amendments to the Winnipeg Zoning Bylaw 200-06. That means that these regulations will apply to the whole city except for downtown. This hearing was advertised in the two major Winnipeg newspapers, and adjacent municipalities were notified as per the charter requirements. So basically, the basis for these regulations, we wanted first and foremost to support the goals of our Winnipeg and complete communities. We wanted to align ourselves with best practices and industry trends. We had three rounds of industry consultations, and we want to recognize that new technology is here to stay. So we'll start right away on the bylaw amendments with billboards. We're proposing replacing the current definition advertising sign with poster billboard, digital billboard, and digital moving copy billboard. And this distinction helps to provide more specific regulations. In terms of locations for billboards, we're recommending to allow billboards in all of the same districts in which they are currently allowed, so no changes to locations. We're proposing no longer allow digital moving copy, and that's the reason for that is because all of the best research out there, that's peer-reviewed research, shows that digital moving copy causes driver distraction, and this can cut drivers' critical reaction time in half depending on their speed of travel. In terms of height and size of billboards, we're recommending a maximum size of 200 square feet and a maximum height of 30 square feet. 88% of the billboards put up in the last 10 years in Winnipeg were 200 square feet or less, and 80% of those put up in the last 10 years were 30 feet high or less. In terms of separation from other land uses, we're recommending minimum distances from historic buildings and parks and riverbanks. This only applies if the sign is visible from those areas or uses. Also recommending that they do not face an adjacent residential use. That also only applies if it's visible from the use. We're recommending that digital billboards be turned off at night if a residential use is established facing and visible from the digital billboard. And we're recommending that they cannot be mounted on listed historic buildings. One slight change that we made was that previously in the December 12th report, looking at the top bullet, it also said ESNL, that was ecologically significant natural lands. We since learned that those lands aren't mapped publicly, so there's no way to enforce that. So we're okay with just taking that out. We're okay with, because parks are included. In terms of separation distance from other billboards, recommending a distance of 500 feet from another billboard on the same street facing the same direction. And now I'll pass it over to Michael Robinson for some.
Thanks, Andrew. Okay, moving on to accessory signs. These are signs that businesses use to advertise and identify their business on the same zoning lot as the business. For definitions, we're recommending that the current definition, electronic message center, be replaced with a digital reader board, digital static copy, digital moving copy sign, and 24-hour whole digital sign. Again, this recognizes the different types of technology that are out there. In terms of locations, we're recommending that digital reader boards be permitted or with review in more zoning districts. Digital static copy signs be permitted in more districts and with review in the neighborhood Main Street PDO and CMU, Commercial Mixed Use District, and no longer allow digital moving copy. The last time we were here, we used the terminology review, and at that time we intended for that to mean a conditional use application. Since that point, we've done some consultation with legal services and with zoning, and they've indicated that we can't do a conditional use application for a sign because it's not a use. So we substituted a max size of 12 square feet as the review for the trigger. So what that means is that anything that would have been a conditional use would be permitted up to 12 square feet and then would require a variance over 12 square feet. So we think that that's an adequate substitute for the conditional use because it will still require a review in most instances. In terms of height and size, we're not recommending any change from the current bylaw. For us, for separation distance, to regulate the concentration of signs, rather than regulate it through separation distances between signs, we're looking at the total number of signs on a lot. So we're recommending for freestanding signs a maximum of one digital sign per lot, two for C3, and one per frontage for C4, and no maximum for signs attached to a building. Okay, so now the next set of regulations apply to all digital signs, like both accessory and advertising signs. For hold time, we're recommending a hold time of 6 seconds for most digital signs in most districts and 60 seconds for the R residential and PR parks and recreation districts. And we're recommending a transition time of a quarter second. And as Andrew alluded to before, these regulations are considered best practiced and are used by municipalities throughout North America. In terms of separation distance, traffic decision locations are places where there's a higher probability of conflict and it's more critical to ensure driver awareness. So signalized intersections, pedestrian crosswalks, and railroad crossings. So currently, we have a 100-foot separation distance from those intersections. We're recommending that new setbacks be put forward that are based more on speed and direction of travel. And these come from Public Works Engineering, and they're based on their guidelines. So that's one of the recommendations. And the second is a 24-hour hold time sign. So when we met with the industry, they indicated to us that they had some concerns with no digital signs being allowed within these decision areas. They felt that it was unfair to any businesses that were at a corner. So we consulted with Public Works, and they indicated that they had significant concerns with these signs at these locations. However, if the signs had a 24-hour hold time, meaning that they only changed the message once per day, they felt that was something they could agree to. So that is what we're putting forward within those traffic decision locations. In terms of brightness, we're recommending industry-recognized standards, which are based on the ambient lighting conditions. And we're also recommending that automatic dimming be in place for all digital signs. For expiry date, we're recommending that billboards have an expiry date of 8 years, which means that they would have to, after 8 years, reapply for a conditional use, and no expiry date for accessory signs. And we have one errors and omissions. We noticed that when we drafted the bylaw, we indicated that billboard signs must not be located within the restricted area. What we actually meant was that digital billboards not be allowed within the restricted area. So we're recommending that that adjustment be made. So in conclusion, we believe that these regulations are a common sense approach and provide a balance on meeting both the needs of business and protecting community character.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant here?
Not yet.
All right, you'll have an opportunity to come back after we hear from others. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody whose name that's not been called wishes to speak in support of the application? Anybody else in support?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. In opposition, we have Richard Grigadis. Grigadis. Wish to come forward?
Yeah, I won't speak.
Just speaking, just register in opposition. Thank you. This is your only opportunity. Just, okay. Very good. John Prostansky. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, councillors. This morning I happened to overhear through your applicant's presentation that conditional uses are no longer allowed according to your legal department with regards to digital signs. When I spoke with our administration late last week, either Thursday or Friday, I had indicated that I'd be coming forward with a presentation on conditional uses. So I'm assuming that this information came forward after our conversation. My presentation this morning surrounds a conditional use on digital copy sign in C1 districts. I'm going to amend my presentation to reflect the new information that we've now received this morning at the table. I have a written presentation, one pager. Although it refers to digital, to a conditional use, I seek your guidance as if you'd like me to hand it out or just amend it and take the verbal comments. What are your wishes?
May as well take the copy. We'll probably get your point, even if it's referring to conditional use, and that's not, in fact, the...
Thank you. Councillors, according to page 12 of your materials, and I don't know where that might be in your agenda, but it's your digital accessory sign location proposed regulations. It's a chart. And under C1 district, it indicates that a digital static copy is only allowed by variance. My original recommendation was going to be that it be allowed by conditional use based on the criteria for approval of a variance versus a conditional use. A variance approval requires that an applicant look at the deficiencies of their current property or the affected property to make their argument on the reasons why a digital copy sign should be allowed. Whereas as a conditional use allows the applicant to look at the surrounding area and neighborhoods. In the amended presentation, I would suggest and recommend that digital static copy signs be an allowed use in a C1 district. My recommendations for that are, if we look at and using and referring back to the presentation of your applicant, main streets and other main neighborhood streets have a variety and uses of zoning categories. And on one any one street in Winnipeg, it would not be and is not uncommon to have a C2 designation immediately or in a very close proximity to a C2. So, for example, on one side of the street, you may have a C2. Immediately across the street, you may have a C1, and within the same neighborhood. On one side of the street, you can put up a digital copy sign. Across the street, you're prohibited or only allowed by variance, and that variance has a restricted approval process. The opportunity for I'm going to suggest that the C2 might be a little bit larger business, not necessarily, but I'll suggest that for discussion purposes. And the C1, under its designation, and the intent of a C1 is more for business that really serves the community within a half mile. Today's businesses may be located in a C1 district if they serve the community to a greater extent than the designated half-mile approval. So they may have a Winnipeg-based business. They may be in competition with a C2 across the street, or they may be in competition with other businesses 3 to 4 or 5 miles down the street. So the business is really at a disadvantage. The intent, my understanding, of the changes to the bylaw is to create a better and more level playing field for signage with all businesses within the city, yet maintaining the necessary controls by the citizens, the city, and the community. So having suggested that and having found out this morning that conditional uses are no longer applicable for a sign, I'm asking and recommending that the committee consider on your discussions this morning that the digital sign copy be allowed in a C1 district. As noted in your applicant's presentation, technology is here to stay, and the ability to communicate a message in any business, they're dynamic. The messages are constantly changing. The consumer, the individual, has become far more sophisticated in terms of their need to capture a message. And a digital reader board may not necessarily be that message. In some instances, I would suggest yes. In some instances, I would suggest that it doesn't come close. Having said that, my written presentation provides an exact example. I had not had enough time to research all five community committees, and otherwise I would have had prime examples for everyone. I'm providing one in, I believe it's City Center, on Corridon Avenue. There's in the 1700 block. On one side of the street, it's zone C2. They are completely, according to the proposal, allowed to have a digital copy sign. 150 feet or less away, the only method to achieve the same opportunity.
Where is this again?
I'm saying the 1700 block of Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if you, on one side of the street in the 1700s, there's a mall. Well done, mall, but they're allowed to have digital copy signs. Immediately across the street, and it's the high 1600s, 1691 to 1699, I believe, they're not allowed except by variance. Then, if an applicant applies for variance, then there's an onerous approval process that requires the applicant to determine the deficiencies in their property to allow them to acquire the digital copy sign. As opposed to a conditional use application, which would allow them to compare existing businesses or existing the surrounding neighborhood as the reason for the application. Because this process has now been removed, I suggest that committee consider and approve the recommendation that C1 did allow digital copy or digital static copy. And of course, I would suggest that all the recommendations of the applicant and time delays and faders and even that the digital copy signs be turned off at nighttime, be allowed or be judged according to each application.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Brzezinski? Great. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, councilors.
Peter McConaughey. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Peter McConaughey, 1004 Pemina Highway. I'm here not today representing the Manitoba Sign Association. We do have a representative who's going to speak a little further on, so I won't touch on that at all. But what I did want to bring up is something that I think might have been missed by the committee, and that's something that in practicality there exists a digital accessory sign and there exists a digital billboard sign. They're clearly two different items and they're treated as such. But there is the case that has occurred and may occur in the future where there's a hybrid of the two, where there's an accessory sign where the business owner decides to sell some advertising to offset the costs. Now, in that case, I'm not sure how that would be treated by the Standing Policy Committee or by the bylaw. And my request today is to propose for consideration some sort of hybrid. It really comes out of the fact of the $27 per square foot fee that a digital billboard is subject to. We feel that's onerous for a small business to be subjected to that same fee if they have, say, 15-20% of the time on their sign is sold to advertisement. So that's what I'd like this group here to consider, maybe a mechanism to address those things, such as a reduced tax rate based on some sort of percentage of use for third-party ads. That's it.
Up until now, digital accessory signs have typically been a lot smaller than digital billboards.
Yes.
That's changing, I suppose.
No, not so much. In this case, they still will be quite, I expect they'd be smaller.
So then the tax is a lot less because it's a per square foot charge.
It is a lot less, but they will still be, for example, 6 feet by 12 feet sort of thing. So they might be two-thirds of the size, half of the size, which for a small business owner, that's $2,500-ish. That's still pretty onerous. They would need to sell a lot of advertisements just to pay the city the billboard tax.
All right. Any questions for Peter?
Yeah, just
that.
I'm not sure if you read it yet, or I'm after administration. The hybrid model, but my understanding is if it's 12 square feet, then you're an accessory sign. If it's 12, if you go in above that,
that's not right? My understanding of the bylaw. That has to do with in C1, the city has recommended a 12 square foot sign would be permitted.
Okay.
Like anything over that, right? And that's just for C1. Everywhere else,
it doesn't change definition in the to billboard when you get. Okay. No. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions for Peter? Great. Thank you. Okay. Right. Charles L. Chappell.
C.L. Chappell, 30th floor, 360 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C, 4G1. Mr. Chairman, I've registered in opposition. That is probably an erroneous registration because I'm in support of everything that's proposed with the exception of one issue. I filed previously a report dated April 8th with the committee, Mr. Chairman, and I don't intend to read that report, but the substance of the report is this. we have worked very closely with Patterson Outdoor Advertising, with the public administration, in terms of all of these issues, and that's why we're supportive of the issue. In my discussion with Mr. Ross, in terms of Schedule A and the particulars, I said, what about advertising signs? Now, I'm using the term advertising sign. I appreciate we're going to three different terminologies now, which is a billboard and a digital and a moving digital. The moving digital doesn't apply because that's not part of our business. But the billboard and the digital are. And we have signs that are billboards located in the agricultural, the C1, and C4. And I said, how do we deal with those applications because they're time dated? They had time conditions on the orders. And Mr. Ross said, well, we just get a variation and you can deal with it. You can vary the bylaw in those districts. That made very good sense to me. We do both a variation and a conditional use. Then I go and see the chief regulator, Mr. Grady. And Mr. Grady says, no, we cannot take an application to vary something that's not permitted in the bylaw. So here I am saying, I'm a regulated industry. I cannot put a sign up as of a right anyplace. And I accept that. We should be regulated. And we've had that discussion before. Now I find out, however, that I'm prohibited from even bringing forth an application to be considered as a conditional use. So that I would request, Mr. Chairman, that the committee redraft Schedule A, and in particular the use table contained in Schedule A, to permit in the agricultural district as a conditional use the two signs I'm talking about, i.e. billboard and the digital static, also in the C1 and also in the C4. What does that provide to me, Mr. Chairman? It provides nothing. I can't put the sign there. I need to come and seek approval after a public hearing, after the city administration has had an opportunity to review the application, and then a tribunal, the Board of Adjustment in this case, will examine the merits of the application and make a decision. If I don't like the decision, I can appeal it to the appeal committee and they can deal with it. At least I have an opportunity to put our position forward, Mr. Chairman. Now, the way the bylaws drafted, unfortunately, I can't. And if either the variance was in place so I could use that procedure or mechanism, fine, I'd be happy as well. If not, do the conditional use. What is the difference between a variation and a conditional use? Well, you know the criteria under Section 247 and 254 of the Charter. It's identical. So that's, whether it's a variance or a conditional use, I mean, the same criteria apply. And that's the request that I'm making of the committee. And there's another issue which deals with the PDO and the Main Street Plan Development Overlay. I would also ask that that be opened up again, subject to the same criteria. Subject to any questions you may have or councillors may have, Mr. Chairman, that completes my presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chappell. Any questions for Mr. Chappell? No? Okay, thank you very much.
I can't believe I got off that easy, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Which is well presented.
Scott Baird. In opposition? Kimberly Labossier. Opposition, thank you. Jeff Pynchon. Opposition, thank you. John Hoshin.
Sure. Not
today. Okay, in opposition. Ken Devine. on, sir.
Good morning. Ken Devine, 398 Daly Street North. I'm here today representing the Manitoba Sign Association. We've registered in opposition primarily because we want to go on the public record as to objecting to the negative nature of this bylaw review and the impact it'll have on not only Winnipeg businesses, but groups such as schools, churches, and community centers. In the last 2 years or so, we've been working with the administration, and there were always three choices put in front of us, and they ranged all the way from the sensible to the most restrictive, and unfortunately, this bylaw has landed on the most restrictive side. It's landed right to the left, and in our opinion, what's been satisfied here is the planner's desire for aesthetics, which is fine. I appreciate that. The bylaw could have been better, and the end result, in our opinion and our experience, is that we're going to plug up the permit process, create a burden for not only the administration but business as well. So I guess we'll see what happens on this. I don't think that there's really any movement. On the positive side, there has been a tiny bit of movement recently, and that was to open the door to at least allow variance applications in C1 and PDO and some other minor areas the administration has allowed a restrictive size digital reader board sign in those areas, and we appreciate that, and we can only conclude from that that this model or this bylaw is maybe designed to provide a mechanism to analyze each and every application for whatever style of digital sign there is on its own merits. So having said that, and on the issue of the C1 and PDO district 12 square foot restriction, 12 square feet on a digital sign is a very impractical size, and I realize that the administration had to start somewhere. Maybe in the spirit of trying to avoid some variances, we would ask, and there are some practical reasons for asking for this, and the most practical one is readability. On a 12 square foot sign, we'll just say it's a 2x6. Our experience is with even a two-line message, and you could probably put a reasonably good two-line message on a sign, on most signs. But you need at least 8 feet to carry out a 14-digit or a 14-character long word. So what you would be doing if you restricted it to 6 feet long is you'd be breaking up words, which would, in effect, in our opinion, create a safety hazard. So what we would ask, at the very minimum, to move it up from 12 square feet to 16 square feet. Our association, our industry, representing in to a degree Winnipeg business groups, community centers, and schools and churches are on record to objecting to the restrictive nature of this bylaw. That's it.
Any questions for Mr. Devine? Hearing none? Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Derek Amy. All right. Anybody whose name that's not been called wishes to speak in opposition? In opposition? Hear none. Anybody whose name that's not been called wishes to speak or register for information? For information? Hear none. You can consult the public service before we call the applicant back? No, they are the public service. All right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Presentation first, Mr. Chairman.
Unless you have questions.
Sure, we can go straight to questions.
I've got a couple. It was mentioned of a hybrid sign today. You know, you hear the digital this, digital that, accessory, reader board, billboard. I just want to clarify what your understanding of it is exactly what was being asked for there. A hybrid sign that included the ability to do third-party advertising on a site, on a business site, is what I believe was being asked for. Doesn't the bylaw already eliminate the concept of third-party advertising? And didn't we do that very deliberately to keep third-party advertising off of regular business advertising?
I guess I could start with that. The moment that a business utilizes third-party advertising, the sign becomes an advertising sign. It doesn't matter what percentage of the sign is being used as third-party advertising. It's advertising. So the new...
So that would be what we would refer to as a billboard, then?
As a billboard.
That's taxed at $27 per
billboard. Okay.
Third-party advertising signs are always billboards.
Always billboards. Okay. Oh, yeah.
And any sign that includes any third-party advertising sign would fall into the category of billboard.
That's correct.
Okay. And then becomes subject to the tax.
Right. But right now, we don't permit third-party advertising, and there was no desire to permit third-party advertising on
Councillor, it would require, if a particular business owner wished to do that, it would require a conditional use approval, and it would be subject to the same sort of locational restrictions that any billboard would be, so C2, C3.
So they're permitted by conditional use?
Yes.
For example, Councillor, on Gateway Road, I've got a credit union. A digital sign was approved there either by the Board of Adjustment or prior to me being elected, where they allowed third-party advertising on their sign. It's 98%, I think, credit union advertising, and once in a while I saw a radio station advertise on there, but that otherwise it's... is it easy for them to go back to being an accessory sign at this point?
It's all a matter of settings, because it's all computerized.
Well, I know physically, but in terms of... Are they going to get a bill for the tax right away when, in fact, they may decide that they no longer want to do third-party advertising?
They would need to apply for conditional use for the sign if they wish to operate the sign as a billboard.
Okay, let's say they've done that in the past. All of a sudden now there's a new $27 square foot charge to do it. What's the process to go back to?
They would apply for a development permit. A development permit would then change the designation of that sign, and then they would be responsible for maintaining that provision.
So the issue really is that right now you can do it by conditional use. Even with this new bylaw, the changes, the text amendments, you can do it by conditional use. The concern is that it would cost too much in order to make it feasible. That was the presentation. So.
Okay. Any questions?
I got it.
A couple others. Maybe just a comment on what Mr. Chappell brought up on Ag District C1 and C4 permitting with the hearing.
If I can just comment, Councillor, to say that if we make something conditional, there's an opportunity for public hearing. May be an easy way to deal with things. But zoning bylaws are supposed to be predictable and reliable. And so when you're living in or working in a zoning district or you're adjacent to, you should have some comfort in understanding what's permitted and what's not permitted. And if everything is conditional, right, it takes away that reliability or that predictability of what can or can't happen to you or next to you. So we don't want to be lazy in saying that everything should be conditional in commercial districts and just let the neighborhood decide each and every time. So we do have rationale that we'd like to apply to support these reasons. We see that agricultural and C1 sites are transitioning sites. They're normally close to residential areas or emerging residential areas. So we believe that there's strong rationale to support our position.
Okay, and so the only thing that's permitted in those areas are reader boards, up to 12 square feet.
As an accessory sign.
As an accessory sign. Okay, and then in the PDOs, is the reader board permitted in the PDO as well? Or
reader board, I believe, is. Yes, reader boards are allowed in both C1 and agricultural.
So the PDOs are normally, that's a plan development overlay where virtually it is a negotiated zoning category for a development site. So there are no specific bulk rule in place of the PDO. It is negotiated. All aspects of that site are negotiated and then determined what the rule will be, and then that's what's applied.
So in the PDOs, and the PDO should be the bylaw. Or it is the bylaw.
In essence, yes.
So why does this make reference to PDO specifically then?
It references one PDO. It's called the Neighborhood Main Streets PDO because it applies to so many streets. It's sort of the catch-all for any walkable pedestrian street. So Osborne, Corden, Selkirk, Ellis, Sargent, they all have this neighborhood PDO. So we have some regulations that apply to that PDO. Every other PDO is not subject to this. So the Academy Road PDO, the St. Norbert PDO, Transcona, those will supersede whatever is in this these regulations.
So if somebody wanted to do a PDO on a Main Street area, let's say in Osborne Village, and they wanted to include in the PDO the ability to do certain types of signage, they can't do that according to this bylaw. I just think of the hierarchy of the laws, right? The planning documents. Yeah. I thought the PDO was so that you could treat these areas as unique, and that the PDO should dictate what is going on. So what you're telling me is that you've done this blanket sort of what you're calling a PDO, which is, to me, that's more broader than what a PDO is. We've done one in St. Norbert. I know John's done on Academy Road. So if one of those areas came forward wanted to do just to be treated individually, how would this bylaw work for them?
Most PDOs are customized PDOs, like the St. Norbert PDO and the Academy Road PDO. They were based on community consultation. There's one blanket PDO, the Neighborhood Main Streets PDO, that was applied at the same time as Bylaw 200 that applies to a bunch of streets. So the regulations under the PDO will allow for digital reader boards.
In the C2 PDO1, which is the Neighborhood Main Streets PDO, which already existed, as Michael said, since 2008, you will be allowed to do digital reader boards and digital static copy signs.
Okay.
Can I follow up on that one?
And also, and if they wanted to do a moving copy, they could come as a variance, or is that what I heard before? If they wanted to do a digital moving copy, they could come forward as a variance.
And that would go to the Board of Adjustment.
Correct. Moving copy.
Yeah. Digital moving copy, if they wanted to do that in the PDO.
Anywhere in the city.
You could come forward with various.
So even the local PDOs, the non-broad PDOs, if somebody were to apply for a variance, that would go to the Board of Adjustments and not to the Community Committee, which is the birthplace of the PDO.
That's correct.
It doesn't seem that makes sense to me. You would think that you would still want the community to be adjudicating on it, rather than the broad spectrum of the Board of Adjustment.
You'd have to change the Development Procedures bylaw.
That would be in that bylaw. Okay. Okay. Mr. Devine mentioned 12 square feet to 16 square feet as being a more...
We could support that request.
That's a support?
Yeah. There was solid rationale and an explanation by Mr. Devine that we feel that we can support that recommendation.
Okay.
Any other questions from the committee? Sorry, was I just confused? Did you say digital moving copy was allowed with a variance or conditional use in any circumstance? My understanding was, based on the tables in here, that digital moving copy was not allowed anywhere.
Not allowed.
from the answer.
Thanks.
For the bylaw guy.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We're suggesting digital moving coffee signs would not be allowed anywhere in the city. However,
until we deal with the downtown, which is still coming.
Right. Sorry, with the exception of the downtown. However, if someone wished to propose to establish one, it could be done through a variance process. It would be variance for a sign that's not permitted.
Okay.
And that would be a sign type, sign form, not a use. Okay.
Signs that currently exist that under the new bylaws that aren't allowed, particularly in terms of billboards, going to the issue that Mr. Chappell raised, I understand there's some signs that currently are, like we'll talk about static paper billboards, for example, that exist in the city that are currently perhaps expired even. If they're located in C1 districts, if they're located in agricultural districts, will they not be, you can't even apply to retain them? Or do existing location ones get to be grandfathered?
Because the use is not available, if a sign is existing in those zoning districts and it was lawfully established under previous approvals and it has an existing conditional use, and the conditional use expires, they're not able to reapply to reestablish the use with a new conditional use because the use is simply not available in that zoning district. It's not available for you to ask for it. If, however, a billboard was put up without a conditional use, it's a very old one, and it has a non-conforming right to exist under zoning,
right,
then as long as it continues to be used as a billboard, it continues to enjoy its non-conforming right. So that's the difference, maybe subtle, but it's the difference.
So one on one block on Academy in a C1 district may get to stay, but the one a block over, because it hasn't expired or expiring, conditional use would have to be A.
That's correct.
Do we know of situations where that exists, where the billboards will have to come down once
there are a handful. I know of one on Osborne Street within Osborne Village that would have to come down. I think one on Main Street.
One on Main.
And there's at least one in the agricultural area that would have to come down as well.
So we would, in order to accommodate them, if we wanted to, we would have to do an amendment to this to permit conditional uses as grandfather.
Is that possible?
No.
Or you could
make them a non-conforming use.
Yeah. Or you could rezone. You could ask to rezone to its only district that would allow for an advertising site.
By way of the main, Mr. Chairman, I think what Mr. Chappell was asking is that you make billboards conditional in C1, conditional in A, and conditional in the C2 PDO, so that they would have the ability to reapply to establish those. The concern would be to open up those zoning districts to accommodate just a handful of billboards that are non-conforming.
Well, there's non-conforming and then existing under a conditional use, right?
Right.
Two separate things. There's ones that are non-conforming that can stay, even though they're contrary to the new bylaw, and there's ones that are under a conditional use that won't be able to stay once their conditional use is. What does it take for the handful, if it were an issue, to make them a non-conforming use instead of a conditional use?
It's a bylaw amendment.
It would be a bylaw amendment.
Right. So we could, in the future, prevent new signs from being established, but recognize those that were permitted, even with the time period, to grant them permission to remain with conditions as committee sees fit.
Yeah, well, I don't think we can do that here today, but...
Okay, so...
I don't like the idea of opening up a floodgate of conditional use applications in those areas, but I, at the same time, I don't like the idea of causing harm to somebody who has an existing right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when you did the bylaw, where these agricultural signs, where's the agricultural one? Is it on Lage Maudier or Bishop Grandin or some major?
It's off of Lage Maudier.
Yeah. See, I really have no problem with the billboard on Lage.
Is there a way? I'm equally concerned. I just don't want to be doing bylaw changes on the fly.
Right.
Is there an opportunity at a later meeting, or where we can look at this issue directly, or is that? Or is that a possibility?
Mr.
Or?
Director, what would it take? Let's ask it this way. What would it take to do a blanket allowance that if you have an existing billboard location, to allow either A, it's just permitted, or B, at least the ability to apply for a conditional use.
Maybe, Jeff, in the interest of time, because this can get very complicated. We don't know all the ins and outs. We don't know the specific locations. Perhaps in the interest of moving forward, it's something that could be considered as this, if we move ahead, sure, as it moves to EPC and to council. I think as the members of the committee, we understand the concern.
Okay.
Hopefully within that time period, we can get an understanding of how much is out there and what we could present for possible amendments.
I mean, I think if you want to establish a new one, you have to either apply for a rezoning or whatever else.
I'm just looking I agree with that notion. To legaler, because it just dawned on me that the city is the applicant here. So the.
It'll have to be presented in a public forum. I don't know.
Okay.
It was presented at EPC.
Okay. These are the representations.
Pardon me?
This is the hearing. So this is where the representation
comes. Oh, so new information probably is challenging in the future.
I think we can put it on the record now that it's recognized by the committee that there is potentially an issue out there of existing use that will be need to be addressed.
So we can come with how difficult is it to come with a short amendment after the fact to recognize that in the interim of long-term course, another full public appearing, right?
Well, that's a bylaw,
right? Getcha.
I don't think we can deal with it today. We'll have to let legal take a look at it.
We can do it and then come back. I can't see why. Well, we're counsel. We can come back if you want.
Yeah, so just want to leave. I know.
Keep up his business open. Is that keep representation open? Mm-hmm.
If there's new information, do you have to have representations again, I guess?
Yeah, no, I think we can move here today. We know the issue. You know, it's been addressed. The concerns have been brought to you.
Okay.
If it moves forward, Mr. Chair, and if there's an obvious amendment that needs to be made as it's moving forward,
right,
that information would come to council. We have all the information that we need from the representations here. We can still close public representation.
That makes sense to me.
The ability to figure out
the issue. We're not bringing forward the information per se. We can just go and implement something. That makes sense.
Okay. And we'll do that in consultation with our legal counsel. I'm ready to make a motion now.
Just one last question, the administration. Mr. Postansky talked about the idea of taking C1 and making it not a variance but a conditional use for a digital
static copy.
And then I hear from our esteemed brother, Mr. Chappell, as well, that there is really no difference between variances and conditional uses. Can the administration kind of tell me, is that the variance, I read the variance that you could say, because my building is located across from a C2, that makes my building for the variance issue, or conditional use, does the administration really, is it an issue for the administration of which path it goes through?
Yes. Yeah. The simple answer. With variation, there are prescribed bulk rules. So, again, it's that reliability and predictability of a zoning bylaw. So if the bylaw says you can have a sign that's 16 square feet, and you ask to vary that because you believe you're injuriously affected for unique situations, you're next to a site that blocks your sign.
Right.
All of those types of issues helps a decision maker in rationalizing and approving it. For conditional, you have to say whether or not this is a unique or distinct reason to allow for a particular sign. Again, it takes away that predictability. I don't know if a digital sign is going to be next to my building. I would like to know. I would like to be predictable in knowing that that's the value of my property, what's permitted and what's not permitted. And to just guess whether or not something may appear is always a challenge.
But the variance will allow us to take because we're all people, and the whole world's unique. So the variance will allow us to address those unique situations where we think it may be appropriate to have a digital moving sign or a static sign.
Correct. Okay. If the bylaw specifically states the sign's there and there's a height restriction, a square footage restriction,
right,
an illumination issue, those bulk provisions
are there,
can be considered to be varied if they're injuriously affected by a situation.
So the type of type of messaging, and that's a that could be a variation too, that not just size. So you want to have a moving copy rather than static single copy. Is that a variation?
Yes.
Yeah. Copy. Thank you.
Okay.
Clear.
Clear.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock here, John. Digitally rock. Yeah, digitally rock.
Wow.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All's in favor. Aye. Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All's in favor.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.